All right, folks, we're starting. So we've got Alan Pope, and he's going to talk about community and compliance.
Hello, everyone. We might have to go slightly fast because my laptop battery is dying. So apologies for that. So hello, and welcome to my short, gentle talk, Compliance as a Community Effort. I've got two goals with this talk. Raise awareness of compliance tools available in open source projects and increase compliance engagement in open source projects between maintainers, contributors, and the rest of the community. It's a new topic for me, so I'd appreciate any feedback either afterwards here in Meet Space or later in a bar or via email. My contact details are at the end. Compliance woes. That includes code scanning, reviewing to ensure compliance with their license obligations, DevOps integration to build compliance tools into their development process. We also provide open chain certification processes and services. And recently we've also provided training to, I have to say this quite vaguely, developers of a large proprietary software product which consumes a lot of open source products. That's as specific as I can be. So let's get into the mind of an open source developer. The quick and easy questions you likely know the answer to, but the answer may be different for each of you. Why do developers create open source software? Why would you do that? There's many reasons beyond because I can, and because I want to, and why not. There's the traditional one, which is to scratch an itch or to solve a problem of some kind that developer has. There's personal development. Maybe you want to learn a new toolkit, a framework, learn a new language or something. Maybe you want to build a portfolio, have some contributions on your GitHub profile that everyone looks at, or maybe you want to announce a project on LinkedIn if you're looking for a job or something. Some people do it just for a sense of community and contribution. They just want to give back, helping others with new software increase the corpus of software that's out there in the community. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you've just been told to work on some open source software. That happens as well. So there's a number of reasons why people contribute or create new software. That's all very reasonable. But why do people and organizations contribute to existing software? So I mentioned why people create them. What about why people contribute? Maybe they want to improve it. Maybe they want to fix some bugs, add a feature, or change functionality in the software. Maybe they also want career advancement and they fear that adding a few contributions on GitHub will help them in their career. Maybe community and networking is what they desire. Open source projects bring people together from around the world with shared interests. That's pretty obvious given you're at FOSDEM, and if you look around you, there's a lot of people with shared interests around you. Some people want to give back. Maybe it's a sense of altruism. There's a lot of reasons why people contribute to open source software. So that's why people contribute, or some of the reasons why people contribute. What about some of the reasons, or some of the ways in which they do that contribution? How do they contribute? And there's probably, in amongst those items listed there, some of the activities that you may have taken upon, whether it's translating software into your language, or maybe you've filed bugs, or maybe you've handed out stickers and events. There's a lot of ways in which you can contribute to an open source project, depending upon your skill set and your desires. But one of the things that's often missing from these often cited lists of ways you can contribute is actually license compliance. Doesn't sound super interesting. Why would I want to do that, right? Well, trust is a big thing in open source software. Something that keeps contributors and users coming back is confidence in your project and a sense of trust in your project. At the basic level, they trust that the project is sustainable. Users might trust that the project is going to update regularly and put out timely releases when needed. And contributors to those projects will trust that their translations get merged in a timely fashion, that code gets reviewed in a timely fashion and merged into the project and eventually released, and that their bugs get attention. And consumers of the project, maybe not direct consumers, maybe they're consuming your project inside their project, maybe you built a library and they're using your library, they may want to trust that you're on top of security issues. And all of them likely trust, perhaps subconsciously, that the project is complying with license requirements. A lot of the time, people don't even think about it. It may, of course, be the case that your favorite project is fully compliant with all of their license obligations. Do you know that for sure, though? Do you really know that for sure? What about all the dependencies that that project depends upon? Are you certain? When did you last check to make sure? Can you prove that you're complying with all the licenses if someone did ask you? Indeed, consider what you would say right now if someone asked you, does your project comply with all the licenses under which the software is distributed? In my experience, the majority of traditional open source projects are not written by lawyers. And also, the project team may not have access to legal advice, not directly, especially smaller applications or libraries created as a side project or something you do in an evening. But in order to improve trust in the software supply chain, it's something we should consider, just like all the other activities I listed on one of the previous slides. So let's think about the community's role in this. Users and contributors are already very familiar with these buttons in GitHub. They'll often use them without prejudice when you have bugs, or when they require a new feature, or when you've moved their cheese. And from a practical perspective, the project should accept license issues just like they accept any other issue. It's just like any other bug, right? And users and contributors should be empowered and encouraged to hit that button when there's a license issue. But we should also assume good intent. The default posture when a license issue is raised is not quick, let's sharpen all the pitchforks and start a thread on Twitter and Reddit and Hacker News. It's engage in open conversation on the issue. There are a few barriers to community engagement with these compliance issues. There's a lack of awareness and understanding of licenses in general. Many contributors may not be fully aware of the importance of license compliance. That can be addressed with a bit of education, better documentation. It's a complex topic, the interrelationship between different types of potentially incompatible licenses is a hard thing to understand sometimes. So, to make it easy, we should simplify the process of enabling them to report issues. Automate regular scanning of your project. There are tools I'll mention in a minute that can scan your project and highlight when there are license compliance problems. And you could also integrate that into the whole process so that every time someone submits a pull request, a scan is done to ensure that not only the code is tidy and the tests run, but the tests should include license compliance as well. And one of the other barriers is fear of legal repercussions. People don't want to press the issue button because they worry that if they talk about the problem, then the lawyers are going to come knocking on their door and it's all going to be blown up out of proportion. But what we should do is highlight that we're open to talking about these compliance issues. Be welcoming when someone wants to report an issue and foster a community that's full of open communication and dialogue rather than won't fix, you know, that kind of thing. So where do we start? Well, the Linux Foundation have a project called OpenChain. It's a good place to start. It's full of policies and procedures, loads of documentation, it's all open source. I've put a picture of the website up there. The URL is openchainproject.org. If you Google for OpenChain, you find some nonsense blockchain stuff. So this is the actual website, and it's all on GitHub as well. So there's repository in there with loads of documents that you could get started with to understand this whole compliance process. There's also a ton of tools available to help you. At the top end, there's the rather spendy Black Duck. Then there's open source tools like SIFT by Anchor and OSS Review Toolkit. And these allow you to build a software bill of materials so you understand what all the bits and bytes are inside your project. And they can scan your repository, they can scan Docker containers that contain your software and all that kind of good stuff. These tools don't solve everything, they're part of the story, but they're very useful for automating that scan so you're aware of stuff that may be non-compliant ahead of time. We should, as I said, engage contributors in the compliance process. Ignoring a license violation and hoping it will go away is not a solution. We should educate and raise awareness that we're open to this kind of dialogue. Educate the rest of the team so they know that if someone files a licensing issue, don't panic. Don't just delete the GitHub repository. You know, it's not necessarily a cause for panic. People make mistakes with their licenses, and these things are solvable, right? And also celebrate the successes. So when you do solve a problem, don't bury it in a commit somewhere that fixes the license. Celebrate it. Like, we weren't compliant, and now we are. That's great. Just as you would celebrate the release of your software, celebrate being compliant. That's a good thing. I've mentioned we should establish clear policies and procedures so people know what their expectations are when they file an issue to do with compliance. And also promote a blame-free environment. Don't go pointing the finger and sharpening the pitchfork to try and find out, well, who committed this thing and who, you know, go through the Git blame history and try and figure out who it was and chase them down. That doesn't help. Let's solve the problem and understand why it happened and try and prevent it happening in the future. Maybe assign responsibility. Maybe your team is large enough that you've got enough people that someone could be responsible for monitoring license compliance. I get that a lot of open source projects are, you know, that XKCD comic and the little balancing thing at the bottom right-hand corner. There's a lot of open source projects like that. But if you do have a significant team, maybe give some responsibility to a community member to keep an eye on this kind of stuff. So, some takeaways from my little semi-rant. Integrate some compliance tools early on. Start scanning your projects. Make sure that you're using the correct licenses in the correct ways. Maybe you have a lot of dependencies. It's quite fashionable these days to use software from NPM and Cargo and PyPI, and you know, are they all compliant as well? Are you consuming software that is also compliant? Leverage automation. You absolutely should have tools that are scanning your repositories on a regular basis. And this kind of stuff is pretty easy to do. Many of the providers that I've mentioned, you can just enable a GitHub action on your repository. It's very quick and easy to do, very straightforward, and gives you a bit of peace of mind that you're scanning on a regular basis. And integrate compliance into the review process. So when someone contributes some new code, you can scan that before it gets merged, rather than 2 years down the road when that contributor has left the project. And engage with the community. Don't be afraid to have conversations in the open, in Matrix or IRC or wherever it is you have those conversations. Don't feel the need to hide those licensing conversations away because you're scared of the lawyers coming knocking on your door. Switching tack slightly, I wanted to mention another project. We're bootstrapping this at Orcro, and it's a project called Corinthian. One of the challenges of open source businesses is in terms of mergers and acquisitions. Company acquiring another company asks the other company, do you have any open source software? And they say, I don't know, somewhere maybe, I don't know. And an audit may be done. But the problem is the lawyers who are very smart about mergers and acquisitions are not necessarily super smart about open source software and licensing. And this is a bit of a gap in the market for lawyers performing these activities. So we started this project to collate process documentation for lawyers to help them understand the open source community, the open source licenses, how they fit together, how they interact. It's all open source. It will all be on GitHub. That domain just points to a static page at the moment, but we're building it out. I sincerely apologize for the AI-generated Corinthian logo over there. It was done in a hurry. Patches, welcome. And finally, I wanted to highlight another talk this weekend given by Andrew Katz. Andrew is a well-respected and knowledgeable open source lawyer with many years' experience in the field. He's also an all-round good egg. He's the Orcro CEO, so he's my boss. So please go to his talk tomorrow or watch it online later on if the room is full. I hope the information I provided has been interesting. If you have any questions, again, I'm not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. It's just my opinion. Thank you for listening.
So, quick question. Is there any support that a company or organization that can support humanitarian organizations or other organizations in being compliant, like kind of consultancy or support or ad hoc or whatever, or guiding, or come a week to our organization, help us set things up in the right direction and just, you know.
Yeah, there are a few organizations that can assist in this kind of stuff, like Software Freedom Law Center, Software in the Public Interest, Open OSC, what is it? Open Source something. I will put the notes, the answer to that question in the slide and upload it to the FOSDEM website.
So, fun talk.
Thank you.
Right now, there's sort of a lot more pressure around knowing what's in your software because the security folks have suddenly realized, gosh, we should worry about that. Is there a way that we can sort of align efforts from the compliance folks with the security folks?
It turns out that some of those tools that do security scanning also do license scanning as well. So there is actually quite an overlap there, and some of the tools can like hit both buttons for you. Things like SIFT that does the SBOM, Ancor have other tools that can do the security scanning as well. So yeah, there are some tools that can do that, absolutely.
So more of a shout out for a project and tool than a question. Reuse.software, that's the URL. So it's a Python tool reuse, and it's also a spec around how to put license information in your project.
Nice.
You can't really do compliance if the dependencies you use haven't actually told you what their license is. So that's for everyone. You know, make clear what license the software is released under.
Absolutely. And
reuse.software has good tools for
Excellent.
Helping you.
Thank you for that. You have 4 minutes of your lives back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.